guys, welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is my co-host from thebabybroad.com, Erica Latham. Hi.
Hi.
So today we're going to talk about what a human day looks like, and I'm going to tell you why. There's a reason.
Why?
There's a reason. So often when we're in the midst of anxiety, we imagine the way life should look and how far from that picture we feel. Only how often, really, if you stop to think about it, how often is that picture accurate?
0% of the time.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Erica, but I genuinely believed, and sometimes still do, that life should be happy, exciting, and easy all the time. And if it isn't, I'm somehow doing something wrong.
Oh, this is my jamity jam jam. We have such our expectations, the right word, or like our little social media lives, everything looks hashtag blessed except for our lives. And I think people think we have those lives.
Yeah.
You did?
Like, yeah, I dig.
I bet no one's actually said this, but I'm pretty sure people think like, oh my God, Erica Kelly, you're like so wise and beautiful. No one is thinking that, but I like to think they're thinking that.
I like to think they're thinking that too. Although I look pretty scary first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning, it's 11:28 a.m. I look homeless and not in a good way. Not in that like hipster, cool, like emo way.
In a way somebody like gives you extra distance walking around you on the street way, right?
They shield their children's eyes and walk across the street. Yeah, that kind of way.
You know, and I think, and I'm so guilty of this. Like, I only post probably happy moments on social media, not to create a false picture, but because it's just such a unconscious habit. And you know, people are like, twins, they must be so much fun. I'm like, I should post a video next time they're belting it out at the same time. And it's like, you can't even think straight.
I don't know how you do it. I feel like the really positive pictures I put up, people know I'm full of crap. So I have to like pepper it with like a witty, ironic caption.
Yeah. You know? And you know, sure. You know? Yeah, totally. And life, of course, can feel happy, exciting, and easy. It's really awesome when it does, but it can also feel hard, anxious, insecure, mundane, boring, angry, and more. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating for keeping life needlessly hard. Of course, do what you can to make life easier and more enjoyable. I'm not a martyr here, but there are some times where life is just challenging, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's so easy to forget that. Like, it's okay if this moment is just hard, period.
Or mundane.
Or boring.
Yeah. So it's not always like panic attacks and bliss. Like, those are not necessarily like, everything's not polar all the time.
Right.
Sometimes it's just like, my coffee was okay.
Yeah.
You know, or like hours can go by where we don't, like you and I have great topics and we talk about, you know, these experiences that we had and these like moments of insight and stuff, but that's not the whole day. That's like 45 seconds.
That's like 45 seconds of the whole day.
Yeah. Like, and we're just really good at dragging it out to half an hour, you know?
Yeah. And you know, the more we can kind of feel these, like to a degree, like mundane or bleh or boring can feel, sometimes we have a low tolerance for it. It can almost feel a little bit uncomfortable. But the more we can kind of feel these moments, whether they're like really hard or just blah, without getting lost in them, the more temporary and fleeting they become. Our system is like really adept at autocorrecting itself. If we don't innocently get in the way and start poking around, it's just when we resist feeling crummy or bored that crumminess intensifies into something more substantial feeling. And the truth is our experience fluctuates a lot during the day. You just started speaking to that, Erica. Like, it fluctuates a lot during the day. It's not full of insights and ease and, you know, Buddha enlightenment moments. You know, we experience an array of emotions, some which feel good, some which feel not so good, and some that just don't feel like much of anything. We're not really aware of these subtle fluctuations until they intensify. So something I would invite people listening in to do is when you think about what life should look like, right? Because we tend to go to that place if we're really anxious or overwhelmed. We're like, life used to be so awesome. It's so horrible now. It's never going to be good again. And it does feel pretty consuming in that moment, right? We have like our anxiety tinted glasses on. We're in it, and it sure does look that way. But maybe you can kind of keep this word fluctuation in mind. Maybe it will make the experience feel just a little safer. Like, as intense as it feels right now, as permanent as it feels, none of us have been in an anxious state for 24 hours. We just can't do it. It's not how our bodies work. We get distracted by something, and eventually we almost habituate to anxiety. It's like a scary story when you hear it a million times, it just loses its fear factor.
I have nothing to add to that, because I disagree.
I want to
hear the sound of my own voice now.
The word fluctuation, when you're thinking, right, you said the word expectations, like if we're expecting life to be or look or feel a certain way, if you can kind of just simply bring the word like fluctuation to mind, like how does that feel? Like, try it on, see how it fits. see if you're okay with it, but just see what comes up.
Yeah, I think that was really helpful for me. Just really understanding that it's not an entire day of anything.
No. Nope. And so we're going to share what a typical day looks like for us.
Yeah.
People note all the fluctuations. There's that word again. Like, note the fluctuations. And for me personally, I'm actually sharing a really good day I had, which made me kind of laugh when I read over what I'm going to share with you. I'm like, oh, that's not all perfect moments. So I think it's important to know I'm actually sharing a really awesome day that I had.
I just want everyone to know I had an awesome day.
I had an awesome day. But what about you, Erica? Are you sharing like an awesome day, a mundane day, or a hard day?
A relatively mundane day.
Great. Yeah.
Peppered with good and whatever stuff, you know? Like a normal day.
Yeah, just a normal day. And yeah, part of the reason I picked a really good day is because I was kind of surprised to see the fluctuations that did come up and the challenges that did come up. For me, this was the 4th of July. I actually had a really good 4th of July. But I did start with waking up, you know, my eyes opened and I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Am I ever going to not feel tired again? Like, parenting's relentless, right? And then I get moving for the day and find myself feeling pretty content and calm because my girls slept in. I was able to do my morning routine, catch up on some work, some exercise, just feeling a low energy contentment. And then here comes 10 o'clock and I'm like, oh my God, I need a nap already. I'm tired again. Here, common theme of tired. So it's 10 a.m. and I'm like, oh gosh, like I have a big day ahead of me. And when am I going to take a nap? I feel like I need one already. And then I'm just, you know, futzing around, hitting up Facebook. I notice a comment that some guy made, which is, it's not particularly relevant, but he said something like, if you don't breastfeed or pump, then you're a lazy mom. And so, of course, here comes a pretty big fluctuation in my day, a lot of rage.
I talked to you right after this, I think, right? Or the next day. And yeah. Fluctuation's a super nice way to say that.
Yeah. Here comes a really big fluctuation of rage, you know.
It's a different F word that you used, but yeah, you know, similar. Similar inflection, I'd say.
Similar inflection. I had an entire conversation in my head about what I'm going to say to this guy, like how I'm going to make him see my way. And of course I kind of just, the subtle art of awareness came in. I was able to see, I don't even know this guy. I'm really worked up. Like everybody else is responding in the same way I would. And it's not making him see it any clearer. So let's not waste my time and energy. I'm going to go for a walk. And on this walk, I used it as an opportunity to do a little bit of loving kindness meditation. It's something I'm experimenting with. It didn't go well. It was a whole hateness meditation.
Oh, that's what you said to me. Do you think there's an option for hateness meditation?
Hateness.
And I laughed so hard.
And you know what? I shouldn't say the meditation didn't go well. I kept coming back to the present moment. Like the goal isn't to feel loving towards the end of it anyway. But instead of like you know, wishing love and kindness. There's a little bit of wishing hate and hate. So, but I did keep coming back to my foot hitting the ground, the trees around me, the butterflies. And for some reason, whenever I see butterflies, it's like a fleeting moment of peace for me, like a, just a feeling of kind of peace and, I'm okay here and now, you know?
I'll take it. I'll take it.
So following my hating hateness came a moment of peace, came a moment of peace and kind of an ability my hating hateness. And then I kind of felt myself moving on. I get back from my walk. I'm tired. I still need a nap, but now we have to pack up the girls and go to our friend's lake house. There was some overwhelm. There's a feeling of overwhelm about how the girls would do on such a relatively big adventure. Cause there's been not really super great adventures in the past where there's a lot of screaming. So there was some like, is this a good idea? Am I going to regret this? We'll find out.
and like, we're kind of sort of making light of that, but everybody just put yourself in Kelly's shoes for a second. Like, imagine, overwhelm is such a good word. You know, you've got twins, you've never really gone out on a boat, you know, you've never,
I'm like, are they going to burn their redheads? Like, they're as fair as fair can be. Like, how's this going to go? How are we going to protect them from frying? You know, it was a bit of overwhelm for sure. And we're driving there half hour and I'm futzing on my phone instead of engaging with Andy, which drives him nuts and drives me nuts too when it's the other way around. But I'm futzing on iTunes, checking out the podcast, just seeing what's what. And I notice a 3-star review. It happens. And of course comes like the wash of insecurity, rumination, then some more rumination. I vent to Andy about it. And I'm saying, God, but I want everybody to, you know, like me and see it my way. And he goes, Kelly, that's what Hitler wanted. So
I forgot you texted me that line. That's the best line ever. Well, because I get just as defensive about the podcast, you know, because it's one thing if it was 3 stars with an explanation. If they write something, they email you and they say like
some constructive criticism.
Yeah, like I really just
it's like a dine and dash. Your voice. It's just a dine and dash.
Yeah, something.
Sure, that's exactly what caught me up in ruminating. Like, you know how thinking layers on thinking layers on thinking. And so it was like 20 minutes of that. And of course, Andy's humor kind of snapped me back, brought me back. There was still a bit of unease, like that stings. It doesn't feel good. But we arrived to the lake house. And as life does, it kind of just pulled me forward, moved on. Got to the lake house. It's like 90 degrees. The girls are screaming. Why did I do this? You know, and
wait, why did you do it? Like have your kids or go to the lake
house? Go to the lake. Both? Go to a the lake, but both? Sure. A little bit of both. Like it was like, oh my God, this is my life. And this is really hard right now. I just want to go on the boat. But we get on the boat. We load them up with SPF 1000 and their life jackets and their bathing suits. We get on the boat. And as soon as it gets going, the girls are like at utter peace. They're so happy. And that makes me happy, of course. Like, that's the upswing of kids is like when you see them enjoying something, it's like you're enjoying it vicariously through them. And so that was like a really pleasant surprise. They're enjoying the boat. So I'm enjoying the boat. We got in the water. They loved the water. They're just floating in their life jackets, like little buoys bobbing around. Like, and they were relaxed enough where Andy kind of took charge of them on the boat. I got to go on my friend's tube. I went tubing.
Yes.
She was whipping me around. So there was a good rush of fear. I'm screaming at her to slow down. Then I'm like, oh my God, she's going to think I'm a wuss. So I'm screaming at her to slow down. The judging mind comes in. My arms hurt. I get back in the boat, you know, like it's a fluctuating experience. Just those like 5 minutes. And you know, the rest of the day is pretty much history. You got back to the lake house, met new people. That feels good. Connection, relating. It was awesome. Ate some crappy food. Felt shame because I knew it wouldn't make me feel good, right? There's a little bit of shame peppered in there. And then end of the day comes, you know, tired, but the good kind, head home and go to bed. And really, I felt really good and fulfilled regarding this day. But again, notice all these fluctuations. I mean, I needed a nap no fewer than 3 times. Like I felt shame, I felt fear, felt insecurity, overwhelm, all those things. And honestly, it's like the fact that it was a good day is what sticks out the most.
Yeah. that's time, though.
Yeah.
So who was I just talking to? Somebody was like, I don't know. Oh, you know what? I went to New York. This is not my day, by the way, but just quickly, I went to New York City last weekend with my girlfriend, and it was a weird weekend. You know, we had a great time, but it was sort of like hot, and I was crabby because I just spent like my life at this wedding the night before, and like, it just, I was a little overwhelmed. It was a lot. But so leaving there, it's like, oh, was this a terrible experience? And then recounting it later, I'm like, actually, it was a really good day. It was filled with fluctuations, my new favorite word.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, I'm like, actually, we had a lot of fun, and I have some fun stories, and you know, time has a way of like sanding out those sharp edges.
And I think it kind of speaks to the resilience of us as humans, right? Like we really we really do. It's so, I mean, we do it all the time, right? If we're really anxious, we kind of almost glorify the past a little bit. Like it sits on a pedestal because we can see things as rosier. We do forget some of that, the lower level mundane challenges and hardships. Yeah. And we are really good at healing.
We glorify the past and we fantasize about the future. We put both of them on a pedestal. There's absolutely no present involved here. Because it cannot be this way. Whatever this is, something has to be better or different. But I think our brains are sort of designed that way, like to keep like hunting on the horizon.
Yeah.
It's just it's old software. We just got to kind of realize that we need to have it updated. I don't think it's realistic for any of us in the Western world to say like, we have to live exactly in the present at all time. I wish I did. But sometimes, maybe not present, but can we live like in the next 5 minutes instead of the next, you know, 3 hours or 20 years ago, or you know what I mean? Like,
I think I shared that with you. Did I, maybe I said that to Andy. I was like, I wonder what it would look like if we were fully, literally fully present all the time. And I mean, I feel like, and, you know, even mindfulness experts speak to this, like that's impossible. Of course, we're not going to be present.
Well, you'd
all the
be
time.
A golden like, retriever. I mean, there's like, yeah. You know, I mean, there's a reason our brains are designed to do what we do. And we've talked at length about this, how there's a benefit to anxiety and there's a benefit to the way we think. But
it's so funny you say that. I had a client say the same thing when we were talking about it earlier this week. He's like, I think he said a lab. He's like, you'd be a dog, you know, you'd be a lab or a golden retriever. Like it's a ball. I think it's kind of a side effect of our sophisticated brains. Like it.
Oh, sure.
It's just a side. You know, our brains are quite sophisticated. There's a lot of benefit to being able to review the past, think about the future. There's some definite benefit there at times. And so it's a skill we don't want to, like, completely throw away. But, yeah.
Yeah. I dig it.
All right.
Okay.
What's your mundane? I like the...
Well.
I like the kind of... I don't know if juxtaposition is the right word here. But I like how mine was kind of an exciting, fun day. And yours is... a regular day, which most of our days are pretty regular.
I mean, this is what my regular day looks like. So we all know I have a big girl job and I have to go into the office on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I get to work from home 3 days a week. This is why I get to do the podcast in my little lunch hour right now.
Yeah.
I say that just in case my boss is listening. no, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. It really is my lunch hour. But
it is. It's 11:45. Okay. This is lunchtime. I'll confirm that.
Yeah. My day started, this was Tuesday, this past Tuesday, because that's when I remembered to track my day, because you asked me to. So 6:15 a.m., my friend Gabby calls because she's a nurse and she has an early shift. And when she goes to work, we have a morning call to like review why we're like the masters of the universe. But 6:15 a.m., I answer the phone like I usually do. And I question our friendship because why would you answer the phone at 6:15 a.m.? 7 a.m., I immediately like try to do mindfulness in bed. So I'm like mindful. I switch midstream to loving kindness because I can't, my attention span is horrible. And then I have a daydream about my old horrible boss. And then I get into hateness. And then, so that's clearly a success. 7:15, I have a shoulder injury. So I did a little foam rolling, totally mundane, normal crap I do. 7:20, I shower and I spend 78% of the time constructing the perfect comebacks for all the possible scenarios that could like ever happen at work.
Yeah. Shower time. Won't. What else is shower time for?
Well, the other 22% of the time I negotiate myself out of shaving my legs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's important.
8:05, I email my boss that I'm literally on my way. 8:20, I'm at Dunkin' Donuts. 8:30, I'm at my desk. And at 8:31, I'm trying to figure out how to get out of there like I'm a contestant in the Hunger Games. So that's how the morning goes so far. 9 to 10:59, I convince myself to not eat my lunch.
Yep.
And then...
If I could just hold out till 11. 11's decent.
11. I know. What is it? And I'm like not hungry at all, but I'm starving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am weirdly productive during that time, like at work. And I fix a bunch of little stupid things, but I look like a superhero because nobody else can figure stuff out. So that's great. I have like a pretty administrative job sometimes. So 11 a.m. I eat my lunch whilst working and then immediately take a nap in my car. Like an aggressive nap. Like I go to my car, I have a neck pillow and I sit in the shade and I put my feet out of my car. People just hate me so much there. 1 p.m. I have a conference call. I spend more time and energy trying to not feel taken advantage of and resentful at the way people are talking to me than I do actually listening. So that's, you know, par for the course. 3:30, I leave to air quotes beat traffic. 4 to 5, we had a storm and I work in weather. So it was like where I actually get to really like prove my worth. And so from 4 to 5, it was like crunch time. I feel so awesome when I'm like really in the trenches, like doing my thing. So yeah. that 1 hour of validation. 5:05 p.m. I don't work out and then I feel horrible about myself because I used to be super motivated and then I do the whole like, what's wrong with me? Is everybody looking at me? I can't believe I was just in this wedding. What did I look like? Oh my, you know, fat. And then at 6 o'clock, I talk to a newish mom. I love talking to newish moms because some moms don't know that they need me until about 3 weeks when they're like, I'm overwhelmed suddenly.
Yeah.
And this is a mom who I actually helped stop breastfeeding, which is another thing I do. So some moms don't want to breastfeed at all. So I help them do that.
Yeah.
And she also said she was feeling really bad about her body. We got to kind of bond on that. That was really nice. 7 p.m. I'm starving. I make a chopped dinner in my apartment. Meaning like,
what does that
I have
mean?
No food. I have no food in my apartment. So I play chopped.
Like the show.
Yeah. Where I'm like, I have spaghetti and one wilted bag of spinach and a piece of salmon, go. So I made a relatively healthy dinner there. And then 8 p.m., obviously I watched The Bachelorette, clearly, with my friends.
Because what else would you be doing?
They let Colton go. I don't want to talk about it.
I don't watch that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, don't watch it. I don't know why I do. Anyway.
Well, I have plenty of shows like that.
Oh, I got sucked in somehow. 10 o'clock, I call my girlfriend. It was really sweet. And then I hated her. And then I loved her again. 10:30, I took a Unisom because that's what I do. And then I check social media, fell asleep, dropped the phone in my face. And then 11 p.m., I berate myself for checking phone social media in bed and dropping the phone in my face. And then I vow, the vow of all vows, the unbreakable vow, to get an alarm clock and swear to God that I'm not going to check my phone in bed. And then immediately fall asleep to my little sleep music. And that was my whole day.
And that's your Tuesday.
That's my Tuesday. And that's pretty much a normal Tuesday.
That's right. And note all the fluctuations, right?
It's like up and down of like, I'm so anxious. I can't believe I'm not good enough to do this job. I'm not good enough to, I can't believe, you know, I can't.
And then I'm awesome at this job, right? It's like.
Yeah. And then immediately like, God, I'm so great. And, oh, I made this healthy dinner. Look at me go. And I got to help a mom and. Got to hang out with friends and, you know, like it's all the things in one day.
It's all the things in one day, you know? Because it's, I mean, that really is what life looks like. It really is such a human day.
The human day. And that's when you and I pick a topic to talk about, we're taking one seriously, like a 45, like in one of our little mindful moments at some point in the day, we might have a realization and then one will text the other like, hey, remember this one sentence.
Remember this sentence. Like
it's usually, isn't it? Like, and it's usually like with no explanation, just a sentence. And then we're like, cool. You know, it's not an entire day of insight. And it's not something we even you and I have to go back and remember the topics we talked about. Cause we need the reminder.
Yep. Absolutely. You know? Yeah. It's often like, I'll be walking with the girls and, cause that's what I do. I walk on the trail to make them sleep and stop screaming at me. And that's often I'll just kind of on my walk, I let my mind wander a bit, and that's when I'll get an idea or an insight. I text you, Erica, real quick, and and that's
how you have the best ideas on your walks these days.
Well, I walk a lot of miles. A lot of miles to soothe these ginger wildlings.
Ginger wildlings. That's our days, I think.
That's what our else? human day.
Okay. Yeah. Love it.
That's our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for more resources like one-on-one coaching, courses, or have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a free ebook there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.